This show is sponsored by HiveMind CRM. It is more than just a CRM. It is a real estate and business mastermind that comes with an all-in-one CRM. You can have unlimited websites and users. You can call, text, RVM, and email all-in-one user interface. And you can set up custom automations for any type and multiple businesses. 65% of companies start using a CRM system within the first 5 years of business. Once implemented, the HiveMind will save you on marketing, give you more time, and make more money. One of our users had his first $100,000 month using our system in June. We want to see you automate and accelerate your business. Text us at 210-972-1842 for future meetings and, of course, to get our $1 course on how to make more than six figures on one land deal. You can schedule your free demo today at HiveMindCRM.io.
Hey, welcome to today's episode. I'm your host, Daniel Martinez. I have a special guest today talking about business, exiting out of your business. So one of the big reasons why I've had him on the show is for selfish reasons, and I've told you that in the past, but we're going to have interesting conversations, and you're just going to be a fly on the wall on this one. I have my guest, Mike Ringel. Where are you out of right now?
I'm out of Marlboro, New Jersey, which is about 20 minutes from the Jersey Shore.
Okay. I almost went to New Jersey on accident 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And it was for a business trip. And the business trip, I literally got on the plane and the person I was going there with, he's like, oh, they canceled the event. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I got to walk to the plane. And no offense to New Jersey, but the flight attendant's like, why don't you just go and spend time over there? I'm like, who goes to New Jersey when you live in Southern California?
Right. You know, it's funny. People ask me where I'm from. And I tell them I'm a New Yorker who happens to live in New Jersey, right? I will never admit, even though I've been here 22 years and probably not going anywhere else, you know, I'm a New Yorker through and through.
Well, I appreciate it. Sorry for all the New Jerseyans out there, but nobody likes you.
No comment. No comment.
He actually lives there, so he can't say anything about it. That's the truth. That's funny. All jokes aside, for everybody from New Jersey, I don't visit there on purpose. But we're going to talk about exiting out of your business. One thing I'm really curious about exiting out of your business is that most people, and like I said, we do real estate and business, so it's kind of a correlation. Most people that buy their house, they only buy or sell their house only a few times in their lifetime. And especially with businesses, it's very, very sparse. Sure. There's some people that build businesses to exit out of them quickly. So yeah. It's a thing they build over 5, 10 years, 15 years. And then once they exit out of it, they might not do business ever again, or at least that type of business. So what's the importance of exit planning whenever you're building a business? Because I know a lot of people, like, they take all their write-offs. That is detrimental to your business, but we can talk about that later. Yeah. But let's kind of talk about why it's important to exit and think about exiting. And when do you think about that? Is it when you start, or is it when you're like, hey, I want to do this in like the next 2 years?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. You know, I believe if the analogy I like to use is, you know, when's the best time to, you know, plant a bonsai tree? And the answer is 20 years ago. The second best day is today, right? So most business owners get into business because of a passion, of a purpose, to make a difference in the world. A lot of them do it because, you know, to build cash flow for their families, for their employees, to eventually retire. So if you think about what Stephen Covey said, you know, a long time ago, which is, you know, begin with the end in mind. You know, the most important day in your business is the day you start your business. And, you know, the second best day is, you know, the day you leave your business. And it's strategic planning. And strategic planning should be done from the first day you start your business. So we're talking about, you know, when's the best time to start thinking about, you know, exiting your business. My experience, most business owners are so focused on working in their business every day that they need to take time to work on their business. And working on their business means, right, getting prepared to eventually exit the business. And we'll talk about things to think about along the way, but it should start today.
There's one thing I really like about this that I heard recently is that business isn't forever. There's ebbs and flows in businesses. And if you're not ready to exit, you might never exit. You might miss the opportunity, like Blockbuster.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, agreed. I mean, in fact, the other day, one of our clients just sold their business for $30 million.
You had somebody that sold their business for $30 million?
Yeah, $30 million. Actually, they just closed on Halloween, right? So only a few days ago, and they were exit ready. Wow. 5 years ago, the business was struggling. They actually did really well during COVID, and somebody came along and said, we love your business. We want to buy it. You know, and the thing that we do is we work with companies and business owners like him, such that when they do sell their business, they're confident in what they're going to do with the money, right? We talk about tax strategies to mitigate capital gains taxes. We talk about, you know, what are they going to do with the money and the psychology of money? You know, where or how are they going to invest the money? And more importantly, is the amount of money that they get going to allow them to produce the cash value to live the lifestyle that they're currently living?
100%.
Yeah. So
that all goes to the point, like, if, and you got to understand, like, I really got to educate people on that too, because they need to understand the tax implications. If they sell their business, it's going to hit them hard, especially if they get 100% cash value. It's going to hit them hard.
It's criminal. I mean, you work your whole life to build a business. You put your sweat equity, the sacrifices that you make, you know, the purpose that in your business, the goodness that you do, you sell your business. And then depending where you live, you know, federal and state capital gains tax, you know, 30%.
Yep.
And so a $30 million business has to pay the government $9 million before the business owners get anything. Now, there are a couple strategies to defer capital gains. You know some of them by being in the real estate business.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the end, a lot of times business owners just pay the tax, take the net proceeds, and move on.
That's crazy. What are, like, the beginning steps to get, like, the exit ready? Because I think, is there, like, a timeline depending on each business size? Is it, like, what's, like, the 1, 2, 3 basic steps, ABCs of exiting your business?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first need to understand that there's 100% certainty that you will leave your business someday.
100%.
100%. No doubt. Either you're going to leave it on your terms or on somebody else's terms, right?
100%. Yep.
So, and there are only 3 ways to leave a business, right? You could either transfer it to an insider, and an insider could be a partner, a family member, or employees. And there are pluses and minuses to doing that, pros and cons. So, you know, one of the big pros is that you know who's buying your business, and hopefully they'll keep the culture the same, and, you know, they'll be able to keep all the employees. The negative is that most employees who buy a business or partners don't have the cash flow or the capital to do so.
Yep.
So therefore, somebody's going to have to finance it, and it's usually the business. And there's a double taxation, if not planned properly, that could occur where 60% of the, you know, the value of the business could be lost to taxes. So if you do it that way, there are certain things we need to talk about. The second way is you can sell to an outsider, right? So either through a broker, through some sort of an auction. You know, I've worked with a dental practice, and a M&A company came over and said, we want to buy your practice. And so they weren't expecting it, but, you know, they offered a premium because they're consolidating dental practices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the third way is you could die with your business.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you could die while you're in the business running it. And if you don't take the proper steps to prepare for it, it could, you know, be devastating to the employees and devastating to your family, and could be worth nothing. Or, you know, you could just be in a service type of business where you say, you know what, I'm just going to work until I die.
Yeah.
So those are the 3 ways to leave a business. And, you know, there are pros and cons to each one of them. So knowing that, right, the first thing to do is to get a value of your business or business valuation.
Okay.
Right. So most business owners, in fact, 98% of business owners do not know the value of their business. Right. If you wanted to know the value of your home or an approximate value, you can go to Zillow.com and you can type in your address and you can get a value of your business. And most business owners don't get a value of their business for many reasons. Number one, it could be expensive. It takes a lot of time. It's intrusive. And once you get the number, you got to do it again and again and again over time. Well, we have certain software just like Zillow using big data and only 3 years of tax returns to get a really good, accurate valuation of your business. And once you know that, you could say to yourself, well, here's the value of my business. And I don't know about you, but you know, people might look at the value that somebody else does and they say, no, it's way too low, right? Because it's your baby. You know, you've been working on it for years. It was your idea. But you got to remember, a business, real estate, a car is only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it.
100%. Yeah. For all my real estate people, that was not real estate advice. Zillow is not selling your home. I want to give that disclaimer because people are going to be laughing, because I was internally laughing because Zillow was buying houses at their Zillow price and they lost money. So
I'm using Zillow as an example, right? Not as a business strategy.
I wanted to break the ice there because I caught that and I'm over here laughing. So let's talk about the meat and potatoes of this. So yeah. Some businesses have assets, some businesses have assets, physical assets, whether it's real estate or assets as far as like equipment and what's the FF&E? Mm-hmm. Can you explain what FF&E is?
We mean the furniture and everything else, the equipment. Yes. Well, so there are physical assets to a business, right? And then there's goodwill.
Goodwill. What do you mean by goodwill?
Well, the reputation, the brand of your business. Okay. But again, you know, something is worth what it could do for you, not the price. So, you know, I had a business owner, client of mine, who died early, and he had about 5,000 patients. Right. So he's a doctor, had 5,000 patients. He died suddenly. He had no business transition plan. Didn't even think about it. Was creating a ton of money for himself and his family. Never thought about what if.
Okay.
So what do you think the value of his business was to anybody else on the day he passed?
It's the client list, your personal data. And not necessarily the personal data, like you can't give away like medical information, but it's the client database of customers that come to him regularly.
Yeah, in a medical field, in a traditional business, yes, I agree with you 100%. In the medical field, those files were worth nothing.
Really?
Yeah, because there was no transition. There's no handover. There was no introduction that says, I'm going to be leaving in a few years. Here's your new doctor.
Okay.
Right? So 5,000 patients got a letter that said, unfortunately, he passed away. You need to find a new doctor.
That's it.
That's it. The family sold it for a discount on the value of the equipment.
That's it. The equipment value. That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah. But in other businesses, you know, you value the real estate, right? You value, you know, your customer list, you know, the value of the inventory. There are things that you can specifically value. But in a service-based business, you know, same thing with law firms, architecture firms, CPA firms. If there's not an introduction or a handshake between one person and another, it's not worth anything.
So not having your exit plan, it devalues your asset as a whole completely because there wasn't anything ready to exit.
Yeah.
Paper as far as what assets were available to sell.
Correct. Yeah. And then once you know that number, right, what we like to do is take a look at, you know, how much money are you going to want to have, right, that you need to generate to live the rest of your life comfortably, mm-hmm. right? So how much cash flow do you need that your assets to generate? Like, because in the beginning of the business, you're on, you know, you're climbing the mountain, right? And you're accumulating assets. And then you get to a point where you sell your business and you have a net worth. Now, that net worth has to produce cash flow, mm-hmm. right? So we take a look at how much cash flow you want to have, right, at the end of, you know, I guess during retirement. What do you personally have on your balance sheet now? And if you sold your business for the amount that the valuation came back for, would that fulfill the gap between what you have and what you need?
Okay.
And if not, how do you add value to the business over the next X amount of years to get to that number that if that number hit your balance sheet will produce income for the rest of your life?
So you said you look at 3 years tax returns. Is that like the standard of 3 years? They look at 3 years.
So our software, right?
Yeah.
Uses big data. We get 3 years tax returns and some financial statements. And using big data, we can produce a 28-page report that says, here's the value of your business. Here's the value compared to other companies like yours, many key performance indicators. And then once you know that number, then we could start building systems, adding value, locking in employees, creating your business so valuable such that, you know, maybe the business is better off, you know, with you not even here working in it.
100%.
Yeah. So the first thing to do is get a value of the business. Once you know the number, then say, well, that's not what I want. I need three times that. What are the value drivers that are out there that could drive value so that instead of being worth $5 million, it's worth $25 million?
And what would be a key value indicator to raise the value of exiting that business?
Sure. So
some people want to 5x potentially their money. What's the key there?
Yeah. So if we take a look, think about some of the value drivers, right? From an asset point of view, the most important resource, the most important asset that you have as a business owner are your employees.
Okay.
Right. So how do you incentivize your employees? How do you not just provide benefits, right? Everybody thinks a 401k, medical, dental, that's going to keep people, you know, attracted to your business, right? It's not. I mean, that's offered by every firm. But what about, you know, incentives? How about golden handcuffs, non-qualified deferred compensation, right? Meaning that if you sell your business, you want to make sure that your top people stay through the transition and after. It's valuable for the buyer. If the buyer knows that the management team is going to stay because you've locked them into the business, and should they leave, they're leaving a lot of money on the table, they'll be incentivized to produce and to stay with the new business owner.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, because that's always the – I mean, if everybody – like, we're in the midst of trying to acquire businesses, and that's always like a scary thing. Like if the management leaves, who's actually going to run the business? Whereas a business owner that operates a big business might not even be in the business itself.
Right. So we look at the employees as the biggest asset, you know, that a business has. And we can create plans to, you know, incentivize people to provide compensation for them. They hit certain targets, they get certain comp, but really to provide what we call golden handcuffs, right? To keep them, you know, locked into the business.
Is that like giving equity if the transition does happen unexpectedly, or if it's planned in the future, they get equity?
If the owner of the business wants to give equity away, they could, but you don't have to.
Okay.
We can create something called phantom equity.
Okay.
Right. So phantom equity is basically just like it sounds. It's kind of, but when I was in a business with this couple other partners in the 90s, you know, I was the fourth person in, and all I wanted was, and I was taught, you know, get equity. I want equity. I need ownership. And then somebody said to me, no, you really don't want ownership, right? Because then you're responsible for all this stuff. You want to know that if the business is sold, right, or transitioned, here's how much you're going to get. And I'm like, got it. Because I really didn't care about, you know, owning the shares. They were worth nothing unless the business was sold. So that's what we kind of did. So you can use phantom equity where you create a plan and the business owner doesn't have to give away real equity to those employees. You could use, as I mentioned before, non-qualified compensation as another way to do that. So there are a lot of ways to make sure that happens. And you need to make sure that you have keyman insurance on all those employees, right? So if one of those employees dies, right, it takes money to replace them.
Okay, so I'm so glad you said keyman insurance.
Okay.
I heard about it recently. And I've never heard it before, literally about a week ago.
Really?
So I've never, like, this is something, like, I've been in business for 5 years. Never heard of that literally till about a week ago. So can you understand the importance of key man insurance and what does it do? Because I know a lot of people have never heard of it because I never heard about it.
Sure. Now, do you have you have business partners?
Yes, I have one.
Okay, you have a business partner. And do you have a buy-sell agreement?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and so most business owners don't, right? So the first thing we need to do is talk about getting a buy-sell agreement. And a buy-sell agreement should be created when everybody's happy, right? Things are great. You're excited. You're starting the business. And in there, we need to talk about certain contingencies. What happens if a partner dies, right? What happens to his, in your case, 50% of that equity? Mm-hmm. Right. I ran across a business owner many years ago whose partner passed away, right? And the partner's wife was entitled to 50% of the business. Mm-hmm. And the value of the business was $1.5 million. So the other business owner was now partners with his ex-partner's or former partner's spouse.
Yep.
She was entitled to $750,000. Where was it going to come from?
Yeah.
Right. Well, it can come from cash flow in the business paid out over time. Right. If it's spelled out in an agreement, it could also come from key man insurance in the form of life insurance. Right. So you and I are business partners. Right. We have a $2 million business. God forbid something happens to either one of us. We have $1 million life insurance policy on each person. Right. Let's say I pass away. The last thing you want to do is be partners with my wife in business.
Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna leave it right there, but you know, she's going to come, hey, you know, my husband, you know, is owed $1 million. Either it's going to come from the cash flow of the business and it's going to hurt your business, or you have a funding mechanism in life insurance that says you get $1 million, you give it to my wife. She gives you 50% of the business back. You own 100%. She has her money. Everybody's happy. So key man insurance is insurance on the key people in the company. Now, one of the things that most people forget about is that the probability of you becoming sick and disabled is higher than you dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Accidents happen every day. Life happens.
Life happens.
Yeah.
So if you and I are business owners and I get sick and can't work and I'm your top salesperson, well, your business, our business is suffering, but worse, I'm still entitled to 50% of the profits because I didn't die. I'm still here.
Yeah.
So there's something called key man or disability buyout insurance where a certain amount of money comes into the business for you to then pay me and I'll give you the shares back. Right. The other thing is you can take insurance out in the form of key man life insurance or key man disability insurance on your top salespeople, right? On your key executives.
Okay.
So the key people in your business, if your top salesperson, right, who brings in 30% of the revenue in your business suddenly passes away, not only is it a devastating impact for, you know, for him and his family or her and her family, but also for the business.
100%.
Right. So if you had a life insurance policy on that person, right, the spouse could be taken care of. The business could be taken care of. It takes time to recruit, find, and train somebody new. So those are the ways that you could protect the biggest asset that the business has, which are its people.
I'm really glad we covered that because
Okay. Everybody,
key man insurance is a necessity. Go look into it. Find out how much does this cost the business in general? Is it expensive?
So that's a great question. It depends on, you know, the person.
Yeah, the age and if they're healthy or whatever.
Right. So life insurance and disability insurance depends on the age and health of the person. And you can get different forms. It can come in the form of term insurance, which is requires the least cash flow.
Okay.
Right. But it ends at a certain time. So if you get a 20-year term policy, after 20 years, it's over. And you may not be able to get more insurance. And if you could, it's going to be based on mortality and your age. So it's going to be a lot more expensive. Permanent insurance or whole life insurance creates cash value for the business.
It requires more cash flow. It also has some really good tax benefits to it. And it also creates a pool of money, right, called cash value. So one of the things that most business owners also don't think about is, what if a business owner wants to leave the business, but isn't sick or disabled, but just wants to leave? They want to retire, right? Or what happens if they commit a felony? Or what if something else requires them to leave the business? Well, if you're using whole life insurance that builds cash value, in the buy-sell agreement, you can say, look, you know what? Upon you wanting to leave, we have to get a value of the business. We get some appraisers to do it, right? We won't use Zillow this time. We'll really get real appraisers to do it, right? And you have a pool of money. Say, look, you take this pool of money, which is in the life insurance, we'll pay you out a little bit more, and that partner leaves the business. So requiring the least amount of cash flow, right, would be a term insurance. You can do permanent insurance. And if you don't have the cash flow to do it, depending on the size of the policies, you can actually use other people's money through something called premium financing, whereby, let's say you need a $10 million death benefit, right? Because our business is worth 20 million bucks.
Yeah.
You can finance it. So there are a lot of different ways to put it together. But first and foremost is you need to put the buy-sell agreement together. You need to have it reviewed. And then you need to find the different funding mechanisms that are going to come into play if something should happen. And if it doesn't, well, would it be great to have an asset, and that comes in the form of permanent insurance?
And that's how you bring value to the company, because there's a cash value built up already in the exit strategy of the business. What does, like, if that person gets quits, or you have to fire that employee that's a high executive that brings in that certain amount of money, mm-hmm. does that like cut off and you bring in a new person, or how does that work? Does that affect key man? Or I've learning a lot about this right now, so this is extremely helpful.
So let's say the person leaves the business, right? Depending on how the business owns the policy, right? Correct. So the person doesn't leave with the cash value. Okay. Unless it's part of an agreement or arrangement that says, look, if you leave the business, you're going to get X, right? And you can use the cash value of the policy to fund it. But yes, if a new person comes in, they would have to go through underwriting, because it's all about, you know, insurance is based upon age, health, and mortality. So yes, you would have to go through underwriting again and then decide which is the best policy that meets the needs. And there are different ways to structure it depending how many people, how many partners, but, you know, protecting the biggest asset that you have, which are the people who produce the cash value, the people who produce the cash flow for the business, right, is really, really important. Because as you mentioned, you know, life happens. It 100%. Just does, you know?
100%. Okay, so we're talking about adding value through life insurance, which is, I think, a great nugget for everybody here listening, that get it with the end in mind. So what determines the value? I know there's different types of businesses that have like a multiple, and it's your not making sure you don't write off all your income, having good books in place. Like, what are those like keys? I know I might've mentioned a few of those, but what are those like key points? Like what are these that you need in place to have exit ready?
Yeah. So everything is based on cash flow.
Okay. Right?
You know, if you think about it, you, besides going into business for a purpose and a passion, right, it's about making money, right? So people go into business to create cash flow. When you're in business, right, you're creating cash flow, and you need to find different tax advantage ways to move money from your business balance sheet to your personal balance sheet, right? And then at some point, the business is going to be valued based upon cash flow, right? So you're right. If you do take a lot of deductions that are not, you know, business deductions, you know, sometimes business owners do, you know, meld them together, right? When you do the final valuation, there could be some add backs, right, to it that, you know, you took these deductions, but you really shouldn't have. And, you know, that could change the cash flow of the business. But the business itself is valued based upon that cash value. And the goodwill, as I mentioned before, you know, the brand, the amount of the employees that you have. I mean, there's certain, you know, the ranges that the business could be valued on. You know, and somebody buying your business could also look at your client list. You know, if they look at your client list and they find that only a handful of clients produce most of the revenue of the business, your business is at risk. Because if you lose one of those clients, then you've lost a significant amount of cash flow.
100%.
100%. Yeah. My business partner, before we started working together, had a food distribution business. And one of his clients, right, made up a significant amount of the revenue. They went out of business. And it hurt my partner at the time. They didn't diversify their practice. They didn't have, you know, a lot more clients. And they wound up going out of business because they lost one key client.
That's crazy. Yeah, a lot of people don't think about that. And especially if you're in the service-based industry, really might have like 5 key clients, 10 clients, and one of them brings in the most money and they might drop you, they might fire, they might go to business. Yeah. That could be huge.
Huge. So take a look at your client list and diversify your client base by not only getting more clients within the same, I guess, niche or industry, but try to diversify outside of what you're currently in right now. I mean, if you think about it, you know, there's certain things that happen in the economy and the marketplace that we have no control over that could totally crush our business. You know, people in the real estate business in December last year, people in the mortgage business December last year, probably never saw the significant increases in, you know, the Fed rate and inflation and interest rates.
Yeah.
The housing market, you know, values going down very quickly. And now a lot of people that I know, and maybe you're the expert in it, but, you know, their business is in real estate and they're having a hard time now.
100%. Not economics thing here, but it lowers the cost of money or lowers the value of money.
Yeah.
Or what you can sell things for. So whereas a capital where you can sell your business for that much money, much more money, it might be less because of all the interest rates affecting your total price that you could sell it for. Can we talk about a little bit about tax strategy that exit strategies that a CPA won't tell them, but they can use when exiting a business? Because if you're selling it at multi-millions of dollars, like I said, you said it earlier, it could take a $30 million business could be $9, $10 million.
Yeah.
Cut out straight for Uncle Sam. So what's a couple key factors to lower their tax liability?
So this isn't tax advice, right? While I am a CPA, I don't practice. So I'm dangerous.
Yeah, not tax advice. Yeah.
Right. It's so just
informational purpose only.
Yeah. I was going to say for entertainment purposes only. So for the businesses that I just mentioned, we looked at different, you know, ideas. Number one is just pay the tax, right? There's some people say, you know what? I just want to pay the tax and I want to move on. We've looked at something called opportunity zones.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with how opportunity zones work.
Yep.
But I'll just share it with your audience very quickly. The federal government created these opportunity zones whereby within 6 months of selling your business or a piece of real estate, if you move money into a opportunity zone fund or an opportunity zone, right, that actually the one we looked at was building some residential buildings in a major city, right, in a low-income area, you actually defer the capital gains tax till 2027. So now you still owe it, right, but you won't have to pay it till 2027. So now you've had, you know, 3 years or 4 years to be able to have an asset grow to hopefully cover the capital gains that you would have paid. And if you hold on to it for 10 years, then there's no capital gains on the initial investment, right? So for example, if you move $1 million that was capital gains into an opportunity zone, right now you would defer $300,000 in tax until 2027. If that property is refinanced and you took some money out, you could pay the tax. But if you, that $1 million 10 years from now, if you held it for 10 years, there's no capital gains tax on the growth of that million.
Okay. And with inflation, that's less money too.
It is less money too, right? So you have to think about it. Do you pay the tax now and figure out ways to, you know, invest over time that could outproduce inflation? Or Do you say, you know what, I want to own some real estate. Here's a very tax efficient way to do that. And so here's, I'm going to take a portion of my proceeds and we're going to put it here.
Gotcha. Opportunity zones, that's a great one. What's, you have any other ones?
Sure. We can look at something called charitable remainder trusts or charitable lead trusts. So let's take a charitable remainder trust, right? You take the $1 million, you put it into a trust called a charitable remainder trust. Let's say that trust for the next 10 years, and there's a whole calculation on how to figure this out, but let's say they pay 5% or $50,000 a year back to you. And then at the end of 10 years, whatever is remaining goes to charity. Now, you also get a big upfront tax deduction for that, right? The problem is, or the negative is that you've lost control of the money, right? You've basically given it away for the tax deduction now and some cash flow for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? There's the opposite, which is the charitable lead trust that says you give $1 million to the lead trust, 5% goes to charity. So $50,000 a year goes to charity. And 10 years from now, whatever remainder goes back to you, and you get a substantial tax deduction today. The negative of that, or why some people choose not to do that, is you're giving up control of that money today. And a lot of business owners I talk to, they want their money now. They love to have control of their money. So they decide they're just going to pay the tax. Right. The other risk in some of these strategies is, what if the capital gains rates are higher in the future? And it's interesting. We were looking at some other strategies a couple of years ago that wound up on the IRS dirty dozen. So while they could be done, implemented in a prudent way, right, it could open you up to IRS scrutiny. Not the three strategies I just mentioned, right? Those have been proven and tested over time. But there are strategies that you've just type in IRS dirty dozen, you'll see the ones that they are aggressively going after for people abusing the tax system.
Okay.
So, you know, the clients that I mentioned that have just, so what I do is I lay the choices out for my clients, right? Strategy number one, pay the tax and move on, right? I'll teach you how to invest properly based upon Nobel Prize winning, you know, academically tested investments based on math and science with no speculating and gambling, right? Or you can go down the opportunity zone route, or you can go down the charitable remainder trust route I mentioned, or a combination of all of them. But it all comes down to how much money you're going to want to live on for the rest of your life if this is your last business that you're selling.
100%.
You know, and the cash flow that's produced by the net proceeds.
Yeah, I love how you frame that, because that's, you have to frame it that way as far as what do you need to live off of, and is this it? And you have to count on it like if that's it, because that might be it.
It might be. But most entrepreneurs, right, are not going to sell their business and move down to Boca and sit by the pool.
Yeah. Right?
They're active. Their minds are going. They walk past a store and they see opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they want to be liquid. They want to be able to have to take advantage of those opportunities when they do come up.
What is a quote that is yours or somebody else's that you resonate with? I think you might have mentioned it earlier, but I don't know if you have any more.
Do I have any more quotes? Something is worth what it can do for you, not the price you pay.
Ooh.
Right? Something is worth what it can do for you, not the price you pay. Too many people look at cost.
Yep.
Too many people look at fees. How much am I paying in fees? I can't believe I'm paying too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could show you, right, or somebody shows you, here's the result you desire. Here's how to get to the result. Right? The other stuff doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Everybody looks like the fear of loss, even if it's minimal. Fear of paying a fee, a fear of everything. Like, yeah. Well, it's opportunity cost that you might have to pay, but you get a better result.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a great example. I mean, in the investments that we do and we work with our clients, we use structured and engineered funds. And in doing so, right, the fees are a little bit higher than if somebody just went online and bought something. And if we take a look at right now when we're talking, I think the NASDAQ might be down 30%, the S&P may be down 20%. Our portfolios are down a fraction of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, our fees are a little bit higher, but the loss is significantly less than if you wound up doing it on your own. So, again, something is worth what it can do for you, not the price you pay.
Mm. I really want to bring you back again because I feel like we barely scratched the surface. This is such a great episode. This is so good. I think we touched a lot of key points. Mike Ringel at LinkedIn, and then there'll be a link in the bio to set a scheduled call with him and his team to see how you can exit your business properly and start setting up that plan, because you always have to think of the end in mind.
Great. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. I had a great time. I can continue to talk about this for a long time. Like you said, we just scratched the surface.
Barely scratched the surface. So I think there might be a part two. So keep an eye out for a part two.
Awesome.
We might cover it. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Go check out his link in the bio. Schedule a call with him. You will not regret it.
Have a good day.
The show is sponsored by The List Guys. Do you need more leads in your local or virtual market? 1 in 10 small businesses don't invest in any kind of marketing. The List Guys have over 35 plus list types to choose from, and you can mix and match any list or criteria. We also use the Skip Trace list and provide up to 7 numbers and email addresses. Every list you purchase will be scrubbed against previous purchases. The List Guys are here to save you time. Contact The List Guys today at www.1listguys.com. That's www.1listguys.com.